Hey there, welcome to this week's podcast episode. I'm so excited for you to meet my friend Emily Hagen. She is a social media really guru, but she helps with marketing and admissions with a small private Catholic school in Rice Lake, Wisconsin. And she is going to share a ton of helpful tips and tricks for you. We're talking about social media. We're talking about Instagram. We're talking about ways to share your story when you're only part-time. And we're even going to talk a little bit about your website and focusing on school enrollment. Now, if you're a private school or Catholic school, definitely lean in. But if you're a public school, this is still worthwhile. This is a lot of things that are going to work in your school, whether you're public or charter or independent or Catholic. So this is going to be powerful. Let's get started. I'm your host, Andrea Gribble, founder of hashtag Social School for EDU. I am here to train you and your staff to be social media storytellers so you can stand out from other schools, celebrate your students and staff, and reach thousands in your community every single day. This podcast is for school social media managers who care about their school and community and want to keep them connected. Every week on the Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast, you'll learn simple, actionable strategies from top-notch guests. Their advice, along with my experience working directly with hundreds of schools across the country, will help you stop being overwhelmed and start truly enjoying your job. The school communicator community is incredibly giving and inspiring, and this is the place to meet them. This week's K-12 PR tip is all about Instagram. Do you have Instagram for your school or district? If not, I'm going to challenge you, and so is Emily in this interview, to add Instagram. Even if you don't know where to get started, talk to your students, talk to your middle school students, talk to your high school students, and get a page started. It's easy to share amazing photos and videos, and we have a ton of resources at Social School for EDU that can help you tell your story through Instagram, whether it's stories or just those posts. So I just want to urge you this week, Instagram can be a great place to connect to students, to connect to young parents, and to continue to foster the relationship with your community and your staff members. Instagram's where it's at. It's my second favorite platform next to Facebook. That's where we reach the most people, but Instagram is the next. So grab the helpful tips in the show notes that are going to get you to how to start an Instagram page for your school and definitely what to share. And if you are liking these quick tips, you're going to love my new video series on the social media secrets for schools. I dish out all of my best training for building a foundational, working, thriving social media program for your school. You can get it for free at socialschoolforedu.com/secrets. Now on to today's interview. Hey, Emily, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Andrea.
We're not very far apart as a crow would fly here in Wisconsin. So that's great to see you and hear you.
Yeah, it's nice to be back home. I really like being in Wisconsin now.
Yes, awesome. Well, with all our listeners who are out there, I'd love for you to kind of share, introduce yourself and share some of your background.
Sure. So I attended the University of Wisconsin, River Falls, and I attended for marketing communications with a minor in business. I've always loved marketing, and that's always where I will be. I worked in corporate America for a while after college in the city. So I worked at Target Corporate, commuted to downtown Minneapolis, worked in merchandising and marketing of the apparel on the floor pad, which was kind of fun. I also worked in pharmacy benefits on their marketing team. That was different. And then I decided when my daughter was about 2 years old that I just wanted to be home with her. I was tired of the commute. I needed a change. So I started to volunteer at my church. I got bored because I like to be busy. And I started doing marketing for the church that I was nearby at. And it wasn't long that the principal at that parish or the school asked if I would consider a position at the school to help them with marketing, social media, website management, enrollment, the whole gamut. At first I said no, and then my husband said, you need to take the job. So I took the job, and I'm glad I did because I fell in love with Catholic schools. I fell in love with promoting schools, celebrating them. And I've partnered a lot with Catholic School Center of Excellence. They're a nonprofit in the Twin Cities that helps all the 79 schools in the Archdiocese with marketing, enrollment, and just showcasing how excellent the Catholic schools are in the cities. So I still consult with them now. But recently I decided that our family needed to be closer to home. So my dad passed away really suddenly about 3 years ago, and I just wanted to come back home. So we just moved back to Wisconsin from the Twin Cities area this summer, and I was trying really hard to convince the Catholic school in Rice Lake to create a position for me. And they did. So I'm very grateful. So I work there part-time and I help them with a lot of the same things, marketing, enrollment, social media, advancement, and fundraising. So that's where I am right now. I consult with CSCO, Catholic School Center of Excellence, too. And I also consult very little with St. Pio Media. They're another Catholic organization that builds websites for Catholic schools and parishes, mostly in the Twin Cities. So okay. That's where I'm at.
That's awesome. You have so much experience. I'm so excited to kind of dive into your mind and your marketing mind and how you've been able to help schools. Definitely Catholic focus, but I just want to urge everybody who's listening, you have a lot of powerful things that are going to help all schools, which is great. So you started, what year did you start with your school back in Waconia?
That would have been 2015.
Okay.
Around 14 or 15. Yeah.
Okay. So can you just kind of talk about the social media journey that you, when you started with that school, because obviously they like went after you because they're like, hey, this gal, she knows what she's doing. She could help our school. So just kind of talk about, I know that you have other responsibilities besides just social media, but you know, talking about that social media journey, can you talk about that?
So when I started at the school in the cities, they didn't really have anyone doing anything on social media. Their website was, it was a work in progress. It was older. So that's kind of where I started, more specifically social media. So they didn't have a lot of followers. They weren't using it for parent communications. They weren't even using it for like enrollment focused. You know, I use a lot of my social media posts are very enrollment focused. Being a private school, we're always working on building our school. So I think in my time there, I doubled the followers of the page, which was really exciting. And with your help and your advice too, Andrea, that was really helpful. And then now I'm at St. Joe's in Rice Lake, and I've done the same thing only in a very short period of time. So I feel very, proud that I've been able to do that. So I started in August and now it's October, and we've doubled the followers of the St. Joseph Catholic School in Rice Lake Facebook page in that short period of time. I've opened up an Instagram page. The middle school kids love it, and I've tried to invite them into the marketing of the school. So I recently asked our middle school students in Rice Lake if they could help come up with a hashtag. So I called it the hashtag project. We still haven't come up with one yet, but we're working on it. So because I didn't know the school very well and being new again to the community, I didn't feel it was fair for me to come in and create a hashtag. So I invited our middle school students to help with that. And I drafted up an assignment and I visited the 7th and 8th grade classrooms and I passed it along to them. So we had a lot of good ones come in. Our teachers will be voting and whoever wins, I'm buying lunch for. So just kind of a fun thing. So social media has been interesting over the last couple of years for me, starting with very simple posts and then moving into more like every time you post, I'm thinking, you know, what is the prospective parent going to think is what I'm always thinking about when I post on social media now.
Sure. That is great success in regards to doubling your followers, especially in Rice Lake, which, you know, I had talked to them several times about their social media efforts and trying to coach them. I'm so glad that you're there now helping them and that they can see the power that it really has. And especially, you know, now we're fall of 2020 right now when we're recording this. So school definitely looks different. But what kind of things have been resonating with your audience as far as what you've been able to share there, specifically at your new school?
It's a good question. You know, I had a Facebook post yesterday that really surprised me.
Yeah.
And it was just a picture of our upstairs hallway. And it showed the light, the beautiful sunshine coming in from the window or the doorway into the hallway. The floors were like super clean, like looked freshly waxed. And everybody loves our custodial guy. And it was just a photo of the sunshine coming in. And I posted, "We love the sunshine coming into our school," with an emoji of the sun. And I couldn't believe I had a few posts yesterday, but that was my highest performing post as far as likes and comments. I was like, what? I had one person comment. I guess I'm guessing it's an alum of the school. She said that she knows that hallway very well, meaning that she sat in the hallway a lot. So it was kind of a fun post. That one surprised me. I know too that, like, I feel like animals always work. So we just did a blessing of the animals in the parking lot. It's something they do every year. All the kids get to bring their dogs, cats. Sometimes we have horses and cows. It's Wisconsin. So, and I shared a couple pictures of our pastor blessing the animals in the parking lot with the kids, and, you know, just super cute. They just love animals. So that one went well. Even our fundraising posts go really well. We're in the middle of a fundraiser right now. And when I tell people on social media, please share this post, they do. They really do. And they care. So, and I remember you mentioning, Andrea, that not every share is created equal. So you want to get the really good shares, like of a business page that has a lot of followers or a parent that has a lot of followers. Those really matter. And so that helps too.
Yeah. And I'm sure just the sheer volume that you're giving a glimpse into the classroom and into the school, carefully looking for masks and those types of things that you have to now, but just that consistency of storytelling that you've been able to build that has led to people saying, oh my gosh, look at the great things that they're doing. And then you're gaining more followers, right?
Yeah. I mean, parents can't come in the school right now, which is really unfortunate, because I think the most important part of being a private school is that tight-knit community. And even being in a small community, even if you're a public school, it's that community that makes your school what it is. And so without that, it's like, what do we have that's different than every other school? So I think that the social media posts that I've been sending out really have to focus on giving our parents a glimpse into what is actually happening in the school and sharing pictures of the classroom, because they're not getting to see it right now.
Right. So you only work part-time for the school, but you have a great social media presence and you do other things besides just social media. How are you able to do a great job with social media and do it on a part-time basis?
It's been something that I've been learning how to do now here at a part-time position. But I think the first thing that I did that was really important was I tried to make really good friends with my teachers and my staff. So they didn't know me. So I set up meet and greets, and I'm still kind of setting those up. I got a couple left, but I set up meet and greets with every single teacher and staff member, and not just on the school side, but also on the parish side, because we're partners with our church as well. So meet and greeting with them and just sitting down for even 20 minutes and getting to know them. And then at the end, I put a little plug in and say, you know what? I really want to make sure that people in the community know how awesome this place is and that you work here and just spread the good news about this school and this parish. So here's my cell phone number. Please text me anytime you have something going on, or if you're at an event and something awesome happened, please send me a picture or even just a blurb. Even if you don't have a picture, just me being in the know of what's happening is good, especially since I'm not at school every day. It's been hard to really get ingrained in the culture of the school. So when I'm there, I take about 30 minutes of that day that I'm there and I visit the classrooms and I capture as much as I possibly can. And that usually helps me schedule out a week or two of Facebook posts is what I try to do. And then the other posts are teachers texting me, emailing me, things like that.
Okay, awesome. Well, you struck a chord there. It's all about relationships. And even though social media is like technology and you can do things, I mean, it all starts with building that trust. And then, you know, you ended with, hey, we've got awesome things that this community deserves to see. Sometimes we get so ingrained in what we're doing, we don't see it as awesome. It's like, hey, we need to show these pictures. And then I'm sure you've continued to build those relationships and get some great stories from those people, right?
I have, yeah. And they love to see their Facebook posts go out. So a lot of times if they send me something and I'm able to post it right away, I do. And I text them back like, just posted. Thank you so much. And they go out and they see it and they like it. And so as a teacher, they want to know that their classroom is being celebrated too. Now, what is difficult sometimes is when a teacher doesn't really like to share Facebook posts. And then that means I have to go into the classroom. You know, if there's certain grades, you don't want to always be sharing the same grades all the time. Being in a small Catholic school or a small private school, it's really easy to almost get your Facebook page to be a little one-sided. Like maybe you're just getting elementary. Because let me tell you, it's sometimes hard to get pictures of those middle school kids. Right. They're a little bit different. Maybe they don't want their picture taken. But you still have to try to make sure that you're showcasing a good breadth of your school across all grade levels. And if that means getting into the classroom at least once a week, you got to do it.
Right. And what you said is you take you try to set aside a half an hour, maybe once a week, getting a bunch of pictures. And then those you can plug in and schedule those out because they don't all have to be posted the same day that you take them.
Exactly. Yep.
That's great. So enrollment, I think, is a top priority right now for every school, whether you're a public school or a private school. And certainly the pandemic has elevated enrollment for some schools, and some schools are way down. And I think social media can help play a role in that enrollment. So, you know, but you also, I guess with social media, you also believe the website is critical. And you've talked about that because that's part of your role as well. Can you just kind of elaborate on how maybe social media and website works together or talk about enrollment?
Yeah. So I'll start with social media first. There's a lot of potential for social media to be a pretty powerful tool when it comes to enrollment of your school. Every day you should be trying to invite your families into the life of your school and creating a culture of belonging. I got that from Frank Donaldson. I'll put a little plug in there for Frank. He's with the Institute for Parish and School Development. And if there is a way that we can always be communicating on our social media parents to invite our prospective families into our school, we should be doing that. We don't ever want to assume that a prospective parent knows that our school has two recesses every day, or that our gym teacher teaches health and he does it this way. You know, getting into those specifics, and that's hard for me sometimes because I'm not a teacher. I don't want to be a teacher. I would be a horrible teacher. But I have to like learn how teachers teach and what they teach, and that means sitting in classrooms. So I try to post like 30% of the whole month's worth of posts on promoting our school. And that might be little tiny promotions. Like I'll put a post of our students that are on the playground and I'll say, did you know that our students have recess twice a day? What a great way to stimulate brain development and make sure that they're getting enough oxygen so that when they go to class, they can be on point and be learning. That's a good way to promote your school and increase enrollment. Just providing enough for your prospective families to be just a little bit interested, and continuing to do that over and over and over again will encourage a family to give you a call and want to schedule a tour. And I would even make sure you're putting out a post once a month. Did you know we host school tours? Come on in for 30 minutes and we'll walk you through the building. You can meet the principal and ask any questions that you want. Making sure you do that. Even another idea that I hope to do probably in December is think about even doing a Facebook Live tour of your school, even if it's 10 minutes. Have your principal do an introduction, on Facebook Live, and then you take the phone or the camera and you walk through each classroom and you show them your school and you explain to them, these are the art projects. This is our art teacher and here's what she does for our school. Isn't that awesome? That allows an opportunity for prospective parents who maybe aren't ready to pick up the phone yet, but maybe are interested in just seeing what your school is. So let's talk about website. I think your website is so important. I heard once at a conference 2 years ago that your website is the tree trunk of your marketing. So if you don't have a strong website, your tree trunk is like not holding up anything else. So a lot of times when I post on social media, I refer back to our website. So without that, I can't direct anybody anywhere. So I think there's a lot of important must-haves that private schools should have on their website, specifically to help with enrollment. And here's what I think they are. So first one, a contact info or a form to fill out to schedule a tour. I think that's so important. Make it easy. Don't make it hard for your parents to schedule a tour. Second, why is your school amazing page? Or why? So we have like a Why St. Joseph page. And on that page, it includes maybe our top 10. Like, what are our top 10? Or what's our wow? What's the wow of our school? Why is it so amazing? Maybe even a school video to share on that page. Number three, an admissions tab. So a tab where people can go to look to see how to apply or questions about financial aid or tuition. All of that information should be available in one tab. The fourth one, preschool. So this might be different if you're a private school for a high school. So maybe you have something about freshman year or something. I'm not sure. I'm not a high school expert. So if you're a private school for an early elementary middle school, make sure you have a specific tab for your preschool because that's the feeder into your entire school system. Having a full preschool, make sure that you're making sure that your kindergarten is going to be full to capacity. And that's a good start to keep boosting enrollment of your school each year. The last one, so number five, not necessarily with enrollment, but I think it's really important, is a place for people to donate online. I think every private school should always have a place where people can donate at any moment in time, because you never know when someone's going to visit your website, an alum of your school who maybe saw you on Facebook and sees, oh my gosh, they're doing all these amazing things. I'm curious. They Google you, check out your website, and maybe they're going to feel enticed this Thanksgiving or Christmas to donate and give back to your school, especially during this time. So those are my important things for website. The other last thing I'm seeing a lot of private schools do is virtual tours on your website. I think those are really important. One word of advice, and this is some advice I got from Catholic School Center of Excellence, is maybe instead of just throwing a virtual tour on your website, maybe instead hang on to it and keep it internal so that when you get that phone call and you're distance learning, you can't host an in-person tour, walk them through that tour personally on a Zoom call. It's really hard to make an emotional connection with a family on your website. So keep that emotional connection with you. And so keep that tour with you so that you can use it when they call you and you can walk them through and talk them through each classroom and make that personal connection with the family.
Awesome. Those are great suggestions. So I hope everybody listened to that. And if you aren't a Catholic school, maybe you can still apply some of these to your school. Donations, do you use a specific program or a company that helps collect donations?
Yeah, there's a bunch out there. The one that we use is Vanco. They're the same donation software that we use for our offertory giving with the church. Okay. But I know there's a bunch of different ones that you could use.
Okay. And some of this, I mean, you know, like why we're awesome, why we're different. And, you know, some of those suggestions that you say, you're like, oh yeah, but seriously, go back to your website and see if you have it. And if you don't, it's like, hey, you know, maybe I can work on that aspect of our website to try to enhance it a little bit. I think that's really good. So you do a lot with, you know, obviously your own school, but you've done a lot with Cisco, with the Catholic School of Excellence. And I've done some coaching with some of those schools as well. And you specifically work on a lot of paid advertising Facebook campaigns. Is that right?
I do. Yep. A little bit. Not this school year now because of COVID and everything happening. But the last 3 years I have been working and project managing their Facebook ads, program for all the Catholic schools for their open houses specifically.
Okay, so you're trying to draw people in, which is important. But, you know, tip number one with paid advertising on Facebook, it can be very worthwhile, but you got to have a goal, right? So can you talk a little bit about that, and then just any other things to keep in mind in regards to, you know, Facebook advertising?
Sure. So when I did Facebook advertising for Catholic School Center of Excellence, it was more on the side, on the front end side. So I didn't do the segmentation. We had a different project manager who did that specific piece. I've done segmentation for the schools that I work for, but the part that I really honed in on was the marketing photos associated with the ad. So making sure that those are like really, really good. Like they should be smiling kids. You know, we want to appeal to the heart. We want to appeal to mom and dads that want to make sure they pick the best school for their kids. And those marketing photos were really, really important. And then along with those marketing photos, it's the ad copy, I think, that's really critical. And making sure you have the right ad copy to go with the photo is important. You only have like a split second of someone scrolling to get their attention. So we, a lot of times, you know, I would write the ad copy in the same way for a lot of the schools, but it would always start with a verb. So it would say like, discover our amazing school, watch our students thrive. So again, starting with the verb, like watch, join us, find your students' greatest potential. It always started with that action verb so that parents knew exactly what was going to happen when they sent their child there, or what could happen. So those were really helpful. 70 characters or less, you know, we kept it really short and sweet. We only had a split second to catch the attention of a prospective parent, and trying to invite them to an open house for a Catholic school it's a quick decision. Either you're going or you're not interested. So hopefully those cute photos of the smiling kids in small groups in their uniforms, or maybe if they're not a uniform school, not in uniforms, along with that ad copy was really important.
So getting those great photographs, you know, your everyday like social media posts aren't necessarily a professional photographer or anything. And you as a part-time or full-time communications person, or you're helping with some of that, you may not have the ability. What are some ways that schools can get those? I mean, are they hiring a photographer? Are they getting a volunteer parent? How does that work?
I would say I highly recommend private schools hire a photographer once a year to come in and take marketing photos, unless you have a parent that's a photographer. Come do it for free out of the goodness of their heart, which a lot of schools do, a lot of private schools do. But yeah, you have to pay, you have to put it in your marketing budget to have someone come in and take those marketing photos. Being a private school, you're running like a business. It's not a business, you're running like a business. And so you want to promote your like business to your prospective parents. And you can't do that if you're just taking willy-nilly photos. You've got to have professional photography or professional grade photos for your marketing efforts.
Right. Yeah, I agree. You know, you get sometimes what you pay for, but if you have a professional photographer in your parent crew or somebody that can volunteer, awesome. But it doesn't cost a ton of money. And like you said, if you can just come in once a year, you can get those, you know, standard photos. We actually have a list of 20 photos that we think you should have with that professional list. I'll make sure to share that in the show notes for everybody as well. And we'll definitely link out your social media sites for St. Joe's there. You know, why do you feel social media is so important for schools today, especially, you know, small private schools? Why do you think that it's important for schools to really focus some attention on it?
I think, you know, I heard this at a conference 2 years ago, that if your business or your school is not on social media, it's kind of like you don't exist. I know that's hard to hear, but it's kind of true, especially right now when people are on their phones. And it's not just like millennials, it's your grandparents are on Facebook. I know my mother-in-law, she likes every single Facebook post that I put out there from our school. So I know grandmas are on there. It's the number one way for you to reach your alumni, your supporters of the school, to engage people in the mission of your school that maybe don't even care about maybe don't even care about Catholic schools, but maybe they want to support a nonprofit right now. Maybe they want to support a STEM education. They don't necessarily have to have a personal connection with your school, but there are people out there who want to give. And if we're not promoting our school, then we're providing an opportunity for no one to be a part of it. I know I talked about building a culture of belonging for your school. And as a private school, you want to have your families feel like they belong in it. Like they're invested in the school. They're investing in, they're paying money for their kids to go to your school. So if they're paying money out of their own pocket to pay tuition, they should be getting the best that we can possibly give them. Social media is just so important. And I think not just Facebook right now, but if you're a private school and you don't have an Instagram page, you got to get on that. And that's my number one takeaway. Get on Instagram. You've got to, even if you're not really sure what to post, just start simple. Post one or two things every week. Ask your middle school kids, what do you want to see posted? What do you care about? Get them involved in the Instagram page a little bit. It's just so important. You don't exist without a social media page right now. And if you don't have a good website, have a really good social media page, because parents might be going there first anyway.
That's a great point that you bring up, because when I started with my first school, the website needed some work. And, I just said, you can work on that, but we can make immediate impact with social media. We can start telling these stories and we can really get great communication, build that engagement. And then you can work on that in the background, but working on a website takes a long time. You can, as proven by you, make a huge impact in just a matter of months with social media. And then you can work on that in the background. Don't you think?
Absolutely. For sure.
Yeah. Really good advice. Well, I have learned so much. I am going to take that back. I think you would make an excellent teacher, Emily, because when you're passionate about something like you are, with social media and with, all of our Catholic and small private schools, you have certainly taught me a lot, and I really appreciate it. For our listeners, what's the best way to stay connected, to you?
Sure. So you can check out my school website. It's www.sjsricelake.org. You can search for me as a staff member. I'm the director of marketing and advancement. You'll find my email and contact information there. I'm also part of the social crew group with Andrea Gribble. You can search for my name in that crew group. And I'd be happy to connect with you anytime. And find me on Facebook, Emily Hagen. Search for me.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure to share your email address too, in case they have specific questions. I think one of the best things about you, Emily, is just your willingness to kind of do what it takes and figure out some of these tools, even for small schools on a small budget, being able to do big things when it comes to really making an impact, for your students, for your staff, for your community. And so I'm excited to continue to watch your progress there. And I know some of the parents and the students there, they are blessed to have you. So thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you, Andrea. I appreciate your time and for the opportunity.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks all you listeners. I'm sure you learned a ton. More information and a few links waiting for you in the show notes that you can check out. And we will see you next time. Bye, Emily.
Bye.
Well, that's a wrap. I hope you learned a lot from this episode of the Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast. Every week, I pick the brains of experts across the country to bring you the best tips and tricks to make your school social media shine. If you were inspired today, hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And when you have a moment, please leave me a review so I can reach even more social media rock stars just like you. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. But before I sign off, I have one more message for you. I know you want to be a rock star social media manager for your school. In order to do that, you need training and support, but time and resources are scarce, which can be incredibly frustrating. I believe that social media should be the last thing that causes you stress. I also understand the pressure you feel to run social media effectively, which is why I built a community to support you. The Social School for EDU membership program helps school social media managers develop a system to save time and headaches, build content that lasts for months, set boundaries to provide some work-life balance, feel supported and less alone, get answers to your questions 365 days a year, and access continuous training for the ever-changing social media platforms. Go to socialschoolforedu.com right now. You'll see information right on the homepage about this membership program. It's designed to be affordable for any school's budget. Got questions? Give me a call or shoot me an email. That information is also right on my website. I can't wait to hear from you. And once again, I'm your host, Andrea Gribble. And until next time, keep telling those stories.